to Luke, now the 12th chapter, as we continue our study of this great, great book. Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. We're going to read a few verses to get us started, but we'll be dealing with the first 21 verses of this chapter. In the beginning, it says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he is killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, Father, that you would bring us closer to Jesus in this hour. Let it be a time, Father, of correcting our lives, of changing our lives, of moving us to be what you want us to be. And Father, I thank you for what you've chosen to do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. When we left Jesus in the 11th chapter, the scribes and the Pharisees were seeking to find anything they could find at all in order to bring charges against Jesus. The scripture says that they urged him vehemently. As they spoke with Jesus, it's very likely that their voices began to elevate in volume. Can I just give you a suggestion? Be very careful when the volume goes up. When your volume goes up, it is very likely that your brain goes off. There are many things that are said at full volume that you should have never said, and if you could get it back, you would. And so when you hear yourself going up, unless you're preaching, and that's a whole different thing, when you hear yourself going up, check yourself and make sure that your brain is in gear. Their volume probably drew more of people to the crowd. People were gathering to see what was going on. Others came because they realized Jesus was there and they would come out to see him. It really must have been a confusing time for the disciples. They were coming to know more of Jesus' true identity. They had come to believe that he indeed was the Messiah. They had witnessed his power in speech, his power in healing, his power controlling the elements of nature. They had even been there when he had raised the dead. Certainly they were close to knowing Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Almighty God. They had witnessed his power over demons. They had even seen the demons be subject to him. They had thrilled to be a part of the inner group. Thousands had come to see Jesus. Thousands had come possibly to touch him, just to get near to him. And these disciples, they were with him all the time. Their lives, if they were to tell you about them, would be testified to be nobodies. They were just of no report. But with Jesus, all of a sudden their lives came to matter. By the way, that's true for you and me. Our lives don't mean a whole lot unless we have Jesus. But with Jesus, they come to mean a great deal. In the midst of all the excitement, there's now a growing group that's trying to find evidence against Jesus, a growing group that really wants to kill Jesus. They didn't come close to Jesus to be healed. They didn't come close to Jesus to be spiritually moved. They came to find fault. There have been some of those people around churches ever since. Just some people that come to pick away. Well, if you're here to pick away, put your pickers up and try to listen to what God has for us. As the 12th chapter opens, we're told that there was a group of innumerable people. The word actually means thousands upon thousands. There were so many people that they were actually stepping on one another. Jesus uses this opportunity. When everybody's crowded together, to teach. It really seems like a strange place to start a lesson, and yet Jesus thought it was the appropriate time, and so it must have been. At some time or another, most parents seek to teach their children. Most parents try to teach their children to do the right thing. We want our kids to do the right thing no matter who might be around them, no matter what anyone else does, no matter what anybody else says. Their children might defend their actions sometimes. They do something and they pull out this number and they say, everybody's doing it. Now, when any parent, worth their salt, hears everybody's doing it, they know exactly what to say. We go to the parent book on page 212 and we say, everybody's child. So you need to focus all the time. On page 230 in that same book, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you? If you saw a light switch, would you turn it off? The parent wants their child to do what's right because it's right. Not because of what anybody else says, not because of what anybody else does, but because it is exactly the right thing. Now, in the midst of this huge crowd, Jesus challenges his disciples not to follow the Pharisees. He says out loud what a lot of people had been saying and thinking privately. He issues some warnings here. Now, I challenge you, you need to listen to these warnings. They are very important. He says, beware of fakes. In 12:1, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware you of the leaves of the Pharisees, of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The disciples were not ready for the animosity they were facing. They liked it when the crowd was all trying to get close to Jesus for good reasons, all cheering Jesus. They didn't like it very much when they began to come against Jesus. Jesus knew it was going to be more difficult for them in the days ahead, that they would be intimidated by the Pharisees who were the spiritual leaders of their day. So before they yielded to the Pharisees, before they faced even harder criticisms, he deals with the heart of the matter. He warns them about leaven. Now, when they heard that word, they understood Jesus was talking about something considered evil. Every Jew was taught to associate leaven with evil. They also understood that when something was compared to leaven, it was something that started out very small that could have a great impact. A small amount of yeast, a small amount of leaven, can leaven the entire loaf. So the leaven he refers to here is the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, I think you'll agree with me, nobody likes a hypocrite. That's been one of the most difficult things about this whole political season. Hypocrites are aplenty. And nobody really likes someone who is a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a play actor. This is somebody who pretends to be something they are not. In this case, the scribes and Pharisees pretended to have a spirituality they didn't have. They pretended to have a holiness that they did not have, a walk with God that did not exist. One of the first things people outside the church are going to say when you invite them to come to church is this: I don't want to go there with all the hypocrites. You may have heard that. I just don't want to go to that church with all the hypocrites that go to that church. Can we be honest? At one time or another, the people that say that are absolutely right. The church is full of hypocrites. Look around. Well, you look pretty good to me, but I don't know. On any given moment, there are individuals in the church whose lives are not matching up with exactly who they pretend or present themselves to be. At some point in all of our lives, we're not measuring up. We're just trying to be honest here. There is a point in your life, there is a point in my life when we stray from what God would desire, and when we do not hold up the standard God would want us to hold up. And in those moments, my friend, we are hypocritical. Now, I don't like that about ourselves. I certainly don't like it about myself. And yet, if I'm going to be truthful, I have to admit sometimes that is true. So are there hypocrites in the church? Yeah, there are. But is that a reason to stay away from God's house? No, it's not. You see, it's a false criteria. It's a criteria that people use related to God's house that they don't seem to use in any other area of life. I don't hear them saying, well, I'm not going to let my kids go to school with all those hypocrites. I'm not going to go to work today with all those hypocrites. Well, I can't go to the movies because all the hypocrites are there. I'm certainly not going to go to that concert with all the hypocrites. Not going to go to the ball game with the hypocrites. Not going to go to the races with all the hypocrites. They're fast hypocrites, but they're hypocrites. To say you stay away from church because of hypocrites and then to go anywhere else where there are hypocrites is, well, hypocritical. Now, while there are hypocrites in the church, at least they are hypocrites under the Word of God. And under the Word of God, we have an opportunity to get rid of the hypocrisy that's in our hearts. And indeed, we should be seeking to do that. We should be seeking to get more like Jesus and less hypocritical day by day. So when people tell you, don't want to go to church with all the hypocrites, say there may be hypocrites there, but at least they're working on it. You know, and so we need to continually be working on it. I don't stand before you as someone who is perfect, that always has done and said the right things. I stand before you as only a sinner saved by grace and forgiven by Almighty God. The sacrifice Jesus paid on Calvary's cross had to be made for me. And so I've not even been right all the days I've been a believer. I became a Christian at the age of 8. So the majority of wrong deeds, evil deeds, sinful things I've done in my life, I've done as a fallen believer. Now, I don't say that with any pleasure. There are times when, by God's word, I'm going to tell you some things. I'm going to challenge you not to do some things or to do some things that are principles of God's word that I have to be honest and say that I personally have violated. Not all things, but some of the things. However, to the best of my knowledge, I have not ever sought you to do or to act on anything or not to do anything that I have violated that I have not gone to God and been forgiven of. Now, you may say, well, that's hypocritical. No, that's not hypocritical. That's accepting the forgiving power of Jesus in a life and understanding what God forgives, he can restore, and what God restores, he can use, even a preacher. And so that's true for my life, and that can be true for your life. We need to accept the forgiving power of Jesus. Jesus warns us of the pretense of spirituality. Listen, one of the things that will turn people off faster than anything else is a super spiritual, sanctimonious falseness. And we need to be cautious if that kind of attitude gets into our lives. Jesus warns us that a pretense of spirituality is dangerous. It's useless because everything you're trying to hide is going to be known. You can't hide anything from God. He knows who you really are. He knows what you're truly like. He knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you're saying and what you have said. He knows how to keep the lights on the right things. Here Jesus is challenging us, don't hide or cover up the teachings of the Lord. We're not to bend or compromise God's truths just to please others. That would have been easy for the disciples to do in those situations in that day. It would be easy for us to do today. When the world is quick to call those of us who stand on God's word bigots, narrow-minded people, many today will go with the flow of society instead of standing on the word of God. It is God's word that will ultimately prevail. We need to stand on God's word. Now listen, you may have sinned and you may have messed up. You may have gone against God's word. And today you might have known that. You might have gone to the Lord. You may have been forgiven of it. If you went to the Lord in truth and honesty and sincerity, he forgives. He's put that away. And you're standing on that truth that you had violated. May I tell you, that is not hypocrisy. That is growing in the Lord. And it's also getting smarter. And we all need to get smarter in Jesus. But Jesus says, beware of fakes. Beware of fakes out there. But listen, beware of fakes in here in our hearts. And make sure that when we find ourselves out of step, we get back in step with Jesus. Then he says, beware of fear. In verse 4 and 5, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I say, I shall warn you who you shall fear. Fear him which after he is killed has the power to cast into hell. A major thing to avoid hypocrisy in your life is to be careful about who you fear, who you respect, who you give your allegiance to. We often fall into being hypocritical when we are afraid of what somebody's going to say or what somebody's going to do. So we bend our words sometimes and bend our lives to suit others. Oh, be careful of that. This was a very real concern for the disciples. Listen, in their lives they were going to be threatened. In their lives they were going to be beaten. In their lives they were going to be cast into dungeons. Their lives were going to be on the line. They were told to stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. How easy it would have been for them to have packed it all in and put the gospel of Jesus Christ away and compromise God's word. Did you know that all the disciples except for John died a violent death, a martyr's death? And don't think John was a wimp. John was boiled in oil and survived. He was a true Baptist preacher. You can't boil him to death. All of them gave their all and refused to compromise on God's word to stand for Jesus. Perhaps they were able to stand because they remembered what Jesus said here. They remembered this warning. The only thing that men can do to you is take your life. Then what? What are they going to do to me after they kill me? Abuse my body? Big deal. I'm going to get a new one. You see, the reality is all a man can do is take your breath. He cannot take your heart. And so Jesus is pointing out to us to keep our minds on the truth and fear the one that can guide our eternity, not just our destiny on the earth. In Jesus, when I close my eyes in death here, I will open them in glory before him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen, all of my loved ones who have died in Jesus are now presently with Jesus. Nobody can take them away. Nobody can damage that truth. They will ever be with the Lord. One day I will be there with them. Who said so? Jesus. Have fear or respect for the one who has the power after your death to cast you into hell. Now, some of you have a Bible that has red letters in it. If you have a red letter Bible, what color are the words in verse 5? Red. What does that mean? That means these are the words of Jesus. Wait a minute. These are words that confirm that hell is real, and Jesus is the one that's speaking it. Today we have people that want to preach away the reality of hell. I'll stand with Jesus. Jesus says that hell is a reality. It is a reality to be aware of, and it is a reality to stay out of. Jesus tells us hell is real and people after death can be placed there. We're not told of hell because God doesn't care about us. On the contrary, he takes note of everything that's happening in the world. He cares about everything that's happening. In this passage, it says that his eye is on the sparrow, and if he watches after sparrows, I know he could watch after me. Jesus is very concerned with all that happens on the earth. The Bible says that he has numbered the very hairs on your head. Not counted, numbered. There's a difference. What's the difference? That means when you brushed your hair this morning and something went to the brush instead of staying up in your head, he knew it was number 476. He takes that much note of your life. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he cares for us. You avoid hypocrisy by committing yourself to Jesus and confessing him before others. He makes it clear if you won't confess him before others, he will deny you before the Father in heaven. Now that is extremely dangerous ground. We need to fear, we need to respect, we need to give our allegiance and our lives to Jesus, who is Almighty God, and we need to serve him with all that we are and all that we have. Beware of the sin, be careful of the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to commit a sin that will not be pardoned. From time to time, I'll have people tell me that they're afraid that they've committed the unpardonable sin. My friend, if you are living, you have not yet committed the unpardonable sin. What is the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin is to go against the Holy Spirit of God's direction to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have until you breathe your last to do that. And the reality is God gives you an opportunity to respond to him. Your opportunity is coming today. You can respond to him. You can be eternally saved by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To continually to say no to God's Spirit is to press God's Spirit, and it's to grieve God's Spirit, and ultimately to grieve God's Spirit and go against God's will and not receive Jesus is unpardonable. What happens if you commit the unpardonable sin? If you die without Jesus as your Savior, according to God's word, you spend eternity in hell. That's real. Not made up. Real. We need to fear the one that has the opportunity and the power to cast you into hell. If we follow Jesus, we can find ourselves in persecution. Follow him anyway. If we follow Jesus, we can have ourselves put down by others. Follow him anyway. If you find yourself in difficulty and they're planning to cast you into prison because of your trust in Jesus, follow him anyway. The Bible says don't even worry about what you'll say. He'll give you the words to say. Some people have taken that verse out of context, and they've made a big deal out of preachers that preach with notes or that study. Can I tell you, this does not apply to preachers in study. Preachers are told to study. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is God's call upon someone who is in the pulpit to have studied God's word in order to present it. So it's not the same thing. But when you reject God's word, you are in danger. When you don't follow God's word, you are in danger. When you fail to put God first and fear him over all, you are in danger. Beware of fakes. Beware of fear. Beware of focus. Verse 15, take heed and beware covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Jesus tells us of a man that had a lot of crops and he had a huge harvest. He brought it all in. He didn't have a place to put it all. And so he just decides, I'm going to build bigger and better barns. I'm going to have bigger and better barns. There'll be a barn here, a barn there, barns and barns and barns and barns. I'm just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm going to get more wealthy and more wealthy. I'm going to have more and more and more. But God said, you fool, this night shall your soul be required of you. The hypocrite is more concerned with others than he's concerned with God. The one who is fearing the wrong things has moved their attention away from God. And the one who has lost focus and puts their focus on things is someone who has put things instead of God. He thinks his soul is going to be happy if he gets more stuff. It's kind of like that bumper sticker that says the one that dies with the most stuff wins. There is nothing wrong with having things. If you have things, that's okay. What is not okay is when things have you. What is not okay is when your focus in life has become property instead of God. Covetousness is greed, wanting more of what others have than caring about where others spend eternity is a problem. Listen, you don't have to be rich to have a problem with covetousness. If your money is so important to you that you can't let go of a tithe to God, you have a spiritual problem. Instead of focusing your life on wealth that's going to be lost on this earth, we need to focus our lives on building wealth with God. We need to focus our lives on following his steps and doing what he desires. We need to make him our focus. We need to follow him. We need to confess Jesus before others. We need to be willing to stand for Jesus wherever we are and whatever is happening. We need to put him above all the time. So Jesus gives a lesson. He tells us to beware of fakes. He tells us to beware of fear. He tells us to beware of our focus. If we will confess him as Lord of our lives, he will guide our lives, he will bless our lives, and he will glorify our lives. The choice is really ours. It's yours. Where's Jesus going to be in your heart and life? Is he going to be Lord of all, or is he Lord at all? This is an opportunity for you to decide. Perhaps today you've never invited Jesus into your heart. You know if you were to die today, where you're going to spend eternity is in question. That's not a very comfortable place to be. How can you change it? Put Jesus first. Bow your life to him. Accept him as Almighty God who came and died for you on a cross, was buried, that he rose again. Understand he wants to come into your heart. If you will allow him to come in, he will come in and save your soul today. In fact, in just a moment, all you have to do is walk down the aisle and say, I want Jesus. If you are sincere, we will pray and Jesus will come into your heart. He will save you today. You will be heaven bound today. Perhaps you're a believer, and the truth is, maybe you're erring on the hypocrisy side. Maybe you're fearing the wrong ones. Maybe you're focusing in the wrong direction. Yes, you've accepted Jesus, but you're not following him right now. And maybe today is the day you need to get back to him. Just come and bow before him and renew your commitment to him. Ask him for forgiveness. He will forgive, and he will restore, and he will reuse you. And he can move your life out from under hypocrisy. He can move your life to be a witness. Maybe you're here and you need a church home. God's told you this is the place. We would love for you to be part of our family. You come. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray now, Father, that you would move our hearts to decisions that we need to make. Father, I pray that we would heed your word. Father, if anyone is in this room that has not received Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would have the courage, the desire to step out and come and say that they want Jesus. And today, Father, save their souls. Father, for believers, if we would live more like you and less like hypocrites, Father, what a difference we can make in this world. I pray, God, that you would move us to your desires. Move us away, Father, from this old world. And thank you, Father, for the blessings that you'll give as a result. Guide our lives now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would you come?
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you.